Hi, Eva.
Hi, Chris.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's a nice weather in Amsterdam. What about you?
Good stuff. Well, do you know what? I'm just north of Milton Keynes in the UK, and it is a little bit overcast, but it's starting to get. It was the first day where it was 0 degrees when I got in the car to take my daughter to school, so it's getting cold. What's it like? What's the temperature in Amsterdam at the moment?
Similar, a bit rainy today with this little shine, but it's supposed to go down. So we're
Okay.
waiting for it.
As long as it doesn't rain, I think we're good, aren't we? Just put the big
Yeah.
coats on.
Yeah, exactly. Wind and rain, that's not my favorite.
Yeah, same here. Well, look, Eva, firstly, thanks ever so much for joining me on the Employer Bland podcast. Really appreciate you taking the time out. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the power of job advertising. So I think we're going to talk about the power of job advertising, but maybe also a little bit about, has job advertising kind of evolved at the rate we think it kind of should have, and the role kind of evolving technology kind of now plays in job advertising, a few other bits as well. But Eva, before we kind of kick off, it would be really great if you could give us a little bit of kind of background on you. Now, already know a lot about you. Global employer branding lead at Danfoss, doing amazing things globally in the employer brand space, beyond Danfoss. I see that you're speaking at so many of the key kind of headline events annually and that type of thing. So doing some amazing things. But it would be really great if you could give us a bit of background on you and who Eva is and where Eva comes from and what your early influences were in your life and in business and that type of stuff. So can I kind of hand over to you for that?
Yeah, sure. Cool. Interesting. Hey, thanks for having me.
No
So
problem.
let's go back to my past. All right. So what first is important for you to know that I'm a Slovakian. Those are my roots. Although I'm living in Netherlands for 8 years, I'm fully Eastern European or Central European. And what are my past? So I'm coming from very simple family of four kids. I'm the oldest one. So I think that shaped me a lot because I always needed to be the responsible one, the lead by example sibling. And I think that led me to always trying to be perfect and always trying to be that example, always to study well. Although it didn't went well for quite a long time because I was a lot into sports. And people say that you either do sports or you study. So I was mostly sporting, but then later on, when was the university time to, when you had to supposed to choose university, my best friend, she went to university to sociology, and I thought, well, I want to be with my best friend, so I'm gonna try sociology too. So went there, no, I had no clue what is it about. So whatever, I do great choices obviously in life. Studied sociology, got my master. I really like that. I always say that actually, sociology get me the researcher heart, or the gut, more like a researcher gut. And then straight after school, I again by the accident end up in the recruitment agency. I didn't know what to do with the sociology, so I was just applying for all kind of jobs, and the one of the job that worked out was recruitment agency. There I was like for 5 years. I really liked that. I got a lot of opportunity to grow there, and it was as well pressure because they have always like a crazy KPIs, but yeah, it was a great experience. And yeah, I still was not into like books or anything, how I am right now. And I think one day I saw a job description on the LinkedIn job posting, and it got so much of my attention that I have decided to move to Netherlands
Wow, on one job description.
on one job post. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So obviously my pattern is doing like a ridiculous choices.
Yeah. At that time in your life, was kind of Amsterdam and the Netherlands on your radar or not really?
Just a bit. So I was like, what I was like 28, 29 years old. I was like freshly after breakup, after 8 years relationship. So I as well was like in the stage of like, all right, what now? Who I am? And at that time I was a lot in touch with like Erasmus students. And many of them have been Dutch ones. And I like them the most. From all the nationalities, I like the Dutchies the most. And then when I was just like, yeah, sorting LinkedIn, going through LinkedIn, I just saw like Amsterdam and posting. And yeah, it's, and I was like, oh, wow, cool. Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love that. And so just before we kind of move on into the job ad talk, one thing that you said that I'm really interested in is so are you one of four or one of five? You said you have four siblings, is that
Yeah.
right? So
Yeah.
you're one of five.
Yeah.
And is it boys, girls? What's the kind of mix?
Oh my God. So we are all girls, and just the last one, the mama boy is a boy.
Oh, okay.
The last one.
Yeah, because I've got four daughters, and that's the reason I was really interested, because it sounds as though, and we'll probably do it off of this podcast because I don't want to go off piece too much, but yeah, for what was it like growing up, you know, early years as the eldest as well, you said, but growing
Yeah.
up with four sisters and a brother.
It was crazy. I can tell you that, like, I don't know whether it's just our family, but we have been very feisty with my siblings. Like, we fight like hell for the attention of the parents. Like, and all of us have different style. Like, where I try to fight it with like being the good student or like a good daughter. Sister after me, she did complete opposite. She was the worst rebel, breaking stuff, kicking her classmates. Like, she was crazy rebel. The other one was just like something between. The other one I don't even remember, but we fight so much, and we fight with the pots and pans. We broke every glass we could possibly broke. Like, my mom, a poor my mom, like, she was yelling hell out of us, like constant yell.
Imagine.
Oh wow, that was crazy. But we would always be the best friends when it would come to watching the Disney movies.
Yeah, well, that's the important thing, isn't it? Yeah, the order of behavior is ringing a lot of bells with me and my own children, actually. And you, as the eldest, and like you said, you had to find that kind of sense of responsibility by the sounds of things. And you know, you had to, you know, you did your studies, you've done things, you know, you constantly kind of look for where can I go next and how can I improve. And do you think that's kind of obviously you're now in the world of employer branding, leadership, that there's a huge amount of empathy and that type of stuff that is woven into your role, because you need to look at these huge businesses and think, how can we be more fair in the way that we're attracting talent into these businesses? But do you think those early life experiences did a lot to kind of shape the kind of role that you do today?
Can be. I mean, I definitely can say that my experience led me to who I am today in
Yeah.
employer branding, because it led me to always try for to being the best of me. And
Yeah.
I found very soon that the employer branding is where I like very fitting, my energy, where I feel like very passionate. So that led me to again go for do your best, because that is employer branding.
Absolutely.
Where I'm using it for the job, yeah, can be. Didn't really had the opportunity to think of it that way.
Yeah.
I always consider myself as a generalist. I always like to be good in kind of everything, but
Yeah.
not like a perfect in everything. Like 75% good is perfect, but in everything,
Yeah.
So, and that's like employer branding as well. So I love my background in HR, my background in recruitment. Now I have been learning a lot marketing stuff. So I like that mixture because I think that's the job where you need to combine
Yeah.
all those skills.
Yeah, wear so many hats, so many different jobs kind of coming in. I get that completely. So moving in, and you mentioned there was a job advert, job description that kind of changed your life, which is quite poignant for this conversation. So kind of moving into that, you know, and in my own experiences, you know, a lot of kind of job advertising, you know, hasn't evolved a huge amount in the last like 20 plus years. You know, they still look very similar in many cases to how they were looking all those years ago. hasn't been a huge amount of innovation, hasn't been a huge amount of improvement. But we are starting to see huge improvements being made in certain silos. There was obviously a particular use case for you that really stands out, completely changed your life, you know, took you from one part of the world to a completely different part of the world, all based on this job advert. Can you talk to us about your own personal experiences and particularly maybe that one?
I very vividly remember that day, and I actually talking a lot about that day when I saw that the job ad, because actually that job ad is what triggered my passion for employer branding, like all that experience. So I remember like it was like a summer 2015, and I have been just going through the LinkedIn, and I saw the job ad, and it literally was stating, the first sentence was like, "Are you agency recruiter? Are you tired of crazy KPIs? Do you wanna have like impact or something like that?" And I was just like reading the first one, right? And then I was like, "Yes, yes, that's me." And the second question, like, "Yeah, yeah, that's me." And the third, "Yeah, I would love to have impact. Yeah." Okay, apply, you know? Yeah. So just like three questions triggered me so much, just I could self-identify so well with those three questions that I was just like blindly applying. And I knew that that time I will be in disadvantages to apply for the job. Like I'm in Slovakia, people might think I need a visa, I might not speak English. So I've been going like extra mile to get that one job. And yeah, it was like in 2015. So I jumped like on my very old computer. I did like this very bad quality video cover letter because I knew that I need to prove people that I can speak English. Mm-hmm. Then I changed some things in my CV, so it doesn't seem that I'm very Eastern European. I was going extra mile to get the job, and it worked.
Amazing.
And yeah, then just that one job ad. And it was like, you know, even that company, it was like the mini startup. I was actually second employee. They had just that one website, nothing else. I couldn't really double check them whether they are good or bad or if it's a scam, you know. Yeah. But I was so blind that there was no logic in me. There was only just the gut and heart and emotion. And I needed that job so badly. Yeah. Like, because I felt like then I have nothing else to do. It's only that one job to fully, I don't know, to find the fulfillment.
Absolutely.
Well, what it was a magical experience, actually.
Yeah. And it sounds as though it was probably quite magical because it felt like it was talking directly to you. That's what I quite like about it. With those kind of two or three headline questions that they were answering job ad, you know, are you this, do you feel like this, you know, whatever the third one was. But do you think that has a lot to do with, you know, that they understood clearly before writing that ad, they understood who their target was, and they understood what the pain points, what are the biggest pain points of my target audience, and how can we alleviate some of those stresses?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think they didn't do it like very consciously, as right now I know how to do it like purposely.
Yeah.
Because I had studying it, what was it. So it's actually official method.
Yeah.
But they did it because they knew that they wanted to have agency recruiters because they knew that the agency recruiters work well under the pressure because they have those crazy KPIs and they can deliver very fast. Yeah. But they knew that many agency recruiters don't like that.
Yeah.
So they want to offer kind of like it's not in-house role, but it's something between.
Yeah.
So perfect for actually agency recruiters.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was smart. It was like freaking smart.
Yeah. And quite short by the sounds of it as well. It's like addressing key components. Yep. Draw you in nice and early, call to action, where you go. So if we can dissect for a minute, Eva, of like good job ads versus not so great job adverts, super effective versus not really hitting the mark. Have you got any thoughts and feelings about, you know, what makes a brilliant job ad versus maybe what makes one of them so effective?
Yeah. So I think there are like a few elements that if you get them right, they will create a complete masterpiece.
Yeah.
But if I only think of that, if you just think of like what is actually the goal of the job ad, that is basically to serve the candidate, right? Like the job ad is actually the platform that is designed for candidates to get them the information they need to get the to make the decision, right? So, and what candidates care about? So the organization, the job they need to do, the money they will be paid on. So the job ad actually need to answer this question. And that's what I always say, is that the great job ad is the job ad that that is helpful and valuable in the first place.
Yeah.
So that that when candidates read the job description, it will answer the question, does this job sound right for me?
Mm-hmm.
And so the great job ad is definitely helpful. Like number one, if just the one thing, it can be ugly, non-creative at all, mm-hmm. non-compelling, non-convincing, but helpful. That's at least the one thing. And then if you add on it the compelling and convincing and the storytelling, the visuals, then of course, then you have like a masterpiece. Yeah. But I always say, if you can just do one thing, then just be helpful. Just actually, please provide the proper information.
Yeah, I love that. And so just to break that down, you know, forgetting about the storytelling and the visuals and all this other stuff, if we break down helpful, you know, being helpful and what helpful content looks like, you know, in your mind, what are the basic fundamentals of being helpful?
Yeah, so basically helpful is, so if you think of candidate journey is an information journey. So on the whole journey, they have the questions, right? About the company, about the job.
Yeah.
So then you have to always think what kind of questions you would ask by yourself. So what I would ask like, hey, what kind of team I will be working on? What kind of culture is in? What kind of way of working? What exactly I will be doing the coming months?
Mm-hmm.
And answering this exact very specific question is actually being helpful. So literally to take 4 or 5 questions the candidate always have and just answer them specifically as you can. And because that, what I love to be about being specific is that actually it will make you unique.
Yeah.
Because more specific you can be, more unique you are. Because nobody can be that specific. No, there is no other company that doing things exactly as you.
Absolutely, yeah. And that, I think personalization is probably quite key as well, isn't it? Like trying to take a little bit of extra time to be helpful in regards to that exact part of the organization, you know, because every team in every region, department is, they've got nuances, haven't they? And slight differences. But trying to be as helpful as possible about that specific part of the organization is probably something.
Yeah, correct. Super awesome. And I always say, like, to recruiters, is that the difference actually between good and great job posting is actually starting, or it's happening during the intake with hiring manager.
Yeah.
Because only that intake will give you that specific information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there even chat or AI cannot help you give you that specific information. Only that hiring manager can give you that one sentence. Sometimes it's just one sentence.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be whole job description, need to be specific. Sometimes just one paragraph, 1 to 3 sentences is enough.
Absolutely.
You know. And then you can personalize, even if the hiring manager give you the name of the teammates. Like, I know you will be working with John and Maria, and they will be your best buddies. That's already making it specific and same time personalized.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in regards to, like, wherever possible, by the way, you know, creating additional content, whether it's around storytelling, visuals, making it as compelling as possible. But have you got any kind of experiences personally of great job ads and, you know, content, visuals, whatever, any type of job ad content that you've been able to collate that have made a difference?
Yeah. So, of course, like, a video job ads are always the ultimate best asset you can ever create. And it doesn't need to always actually be the hiring manager speaking. It can be just a recruiter describing the job he/she is hiring for.
Yeah.
You know, it can be that easy. But even if people are not like confident with their video, like I used to work create like these job carousels.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a job and I would just like split it in like to the slides, job carousels. That was working pretty well as well.
Yeah.
Or like try to put like a job description in one slide with some visualization. That was working very well on LinkedIn as well. And of course, like if you can put to job description some pictures, if you actually can make from job posting a job landing page,
yeah,
that would be top. That would be like the ultimate advanced approach, because you always have to think of job posting is that actually it's a job landing page. Yeah. So you have to treat it as a digital page. So you need to create the zigzag layout, or you have to, you know, create different visuals so you help people to read it properly or enough. So I would definitely use visual in job posting, but then creating a job ad content for posting, there is a lot of way how you can really create the little assets, pictures. I don't know, take a picture of the team, post it, we're looking for a person here, you know, question mark.
Absolutely, yeah. And you could make your life a bit easier as well by just creating templates, couldn't you, by different departments, regions, whatever. So it's not like you need to create something from scratch every time there's a new vacancy in an enterprise business like Danfoss, for example. That would be impossible. But having a template for Technology Amsterdam or Marketing London or whatever, I suppose it would break the back of the hard work, and then you can just add content as and when you need to.
Yeah, so that's what I do now, actually. This whole year, I've been creating this master template that we will then upload to our ATS. So then recruiters cannot go really away from it, but they need to fill it in. So I really hope it will as well teach them to start thinking in those copywriting formulas.
Absolutely.
They need to now fill it rather than think of them. So definitely I would recommend create one general master template that at least get always that value proposition right.
Yep.
So about the company is awesome. Maybe the culture, the benefit part is awesome, because that one you can visualize the benefits. You don't need to just write bullet points. You can actually make them visualize, feel what they're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many parts you can make. And then only what the... what recruiters need to feel is then just job responsibilities and job requirements.
Yeah.
And even if those other parts you do well, and then you just copy paste badly the bullet point for requirement, it still will be good. It's still will be good. 60% plus good.
Yeah. And I think operationally, that's a really important thing, isn't it? Like, you know, having something that visually is super compelling, super engaging, but operationally, trying not to make life too difficult for the recruiters, because that's the key balance, isn't it? I think,
My approach right now, and as you say, like Danfoss is such a huge company, so it's very hard to create that many templates. And I don't want to make their life that easy, because I as well believe that they should learn to do better job by themselves, right? It's always good for their career to know how to write job descriptions. So I as well, like how... Well, I want to like create the trainings actually teaching them to write the bullet point or what is like difference between bad and good bullet point. Right. And as well, like, for example, my biggest achievement is to actually iterate with them. Do you really have to put this bullet point in? Is it very important to say that you need somebody with communication skills? Mm-hmm. Isn't it not like guaranteed?
Yeah, absolutely.
We really have to, you know, mention that or you need to be goal driven. I mean, like, seriously, check it out in interviews. I mean, you don't need to know that. It's not must have, don't you? You know, it's so that's already like, I think, teaching recruiters to just write about things that are very important.
Mm-hmm.
And that use in a job ad, don't put there anything vague, fluffy, nice to have this as well, not important.
Mm. Which is a really good point, because there's been part of me previously, it's like, you know, it must be really, it's almost like trying to teach recruiters to be copywriters. But I think from what you're saying, which is really kind of poignant actually, is you don't need to necessarily teach them to be copywriters, but it's the fundamental like good from the avoid this stuff over here, because there's just no point. That just, it's just fluff that you see everywhere. Yeah. And that kind of leads us on to the other part of the question, which is like what to avoid. So in, you know, if we look at like mistakes that you see that are often made in job ads and things that aren't, you know, that aren't being done maybe to the, you know, not the best examples that you've seen in job ads. Is there anything that kind of sticks out for you, mistakes that you often see being made?
Yeah. So I think like the biggest mistakes that always I see is that the job description they are provided from the hiring managers, that is just purely copy paste.
Yeah.
And it's not changed to a posting. So it's not turned to be a marketing material. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest mistake, where you just blindly copy paste what the hiring manager gave you and not even asking where the hiring manager got it from.
Yeah.
Did the hiring manager just copy paste it from internet? You know, probably.
Yeah.
You know? So that one. And then when people are talking or writing in very vague terms and using very sophisticated English. Like I always say, speak plain, like as simple as possible, as a kid can read it on the one go. And don't use like a technical jargon. I think, and the one of my favorite mistake is that many job description are written in the we language. So yeah. Constantly like, we are amazing. We are doing this. We are doing that. We. But nobody cares about them, you know, like, so turning that into that you language, you will join this, you will be doing this. If you join us, you will get this rather than we offer this.
Yeah, such a good point, actually. And such a simple thing to change, isn't it? But I think the impact is huge, isn't it? Because it puts the focus back on the person reading it, doesn't it? And the benefits that they'll be receiving.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest advice with this is like, even if you have 100% templates, by turning it into that you language, it will make it feel personalized.
Yeah,
because it talking to directly to the candidate, so it will feel like you have a conversation with the job description. So even if then you would add there some questions, like I used to write this question in the job description, like, and now you ask, now you might ask, is this a right job for me? And then I would just continue, don't worry, here is a recruiter who can give you more information. Just apply, you know? Or so like, try to as well put there these questions, like, oh, is this all? No, don't worry, we have a more of it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So make it conversational works.
Yeah, and it's injecting some personality as well, isn't it? I think that's such a nice thing to do. Like you were saying, so easy to cut and paste stuff off the internet, use job ads that you're using 5 years ago for the same position. One of the things I find really fascinating, Eva, is that some vacancies are open in companies for like 2 months, 3 months.
Yeah.
But when it comes to creating the job ad or just some ideas or concepts or storytelling or creativity, like people often haven't got 1 hour to allocate to the process.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a problem, I think, I've found with the process. It's like, you know, this process from start to finish could take as long as 3 months, 2 months to get the right person on board. You know, you might try and onboard someone, it falls out, you have to go again, whatever. Mm-hmm. But in such a long window of time, it's like you're only asking for such a small allocation, aren't you? Is that something that you've come up against?
Yeah, that's definitely, I always say that how ridiculous it is that people spend so little time in that intake and then job description creation compared to what you said, like how long, Carl, they could even in the 3 months, they could change it a million times. They could already have second, third iteration, whatever. But what I as well see the problem, and I think here, where I used to be a recruiter, so I can definitely feel the pain where I sometimes did the bad job myself. I wasn't always the good writer. But I think like the reasons why we recruiters write not the best posts or ads is because, first of all, we have lack of information.
Yeah.
So we don't know. We don't have deep understanding about the role. Mm-hmm. We have inadequate training. We don't know how to write. You know, there is a really little recruiters who did any copywriting training ever.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't have training. Some recruiters are so deeply immersed in the company that they only talk in the jargons. So yeah. Actually, some recruiters really truly believe that's how it should be written. Mm. You know, and it's, and then some of them are very hard to change, like to convince them, like, no, you have to be more marketing-y.
Yeah.
You know? So there is a lot of like a lot of assumptions and why actually it goes wrong. That's why I always say, like, it's nice if the employee branding person or somebody from marketing team maybe help recruiter to put some spice on it or polish it a bit. That's, you know, so I wish that process is a bit better. So I, for example, like to get to the intake with recruiter.
Yeah,
so I like to be there together with them. So if recruiter, you know, ask the functional questions, I can then ask just like this additional thing. Yeah, when I was doing both, I could do it, you know, by myself. I could just like, I could have a meeting with the hiring manager till I have everything what I need.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like now what I want to do is that when I have this master template, I actually want to send it to the hiring manager before intake.
Mm-hmm.
To actually for hiring manager trying to fill it in.
Yep. Yeah, right? Love
or
that.
Or that sort of template just for hiring manager, just like the new hire will be doing in the first month, and then you would put as a responsibility or the what you will do in the job.
Yeah.
In the first year, the goal will be this, blah blah blah. So I'm thinking of creating now as well like this kind of like a touch point. To teach as well hiring managers to start thinking as well in those marketing setups.
Yeah, and it's nice to create some process, I think, in that you know, in creating the job ad, because I think a lot of the time it's always a blank canvas. It's always like, okay, there's a new vacancy. Where do we start? And everyone's like, so we're looking for a da-da-da-da-da. And then the conversation just naturally develops where actually having a set of processes, you know, is a really nice thing, isn't it? Because it shapes everything. Something you said earlier I thought was really nice was, you know, what is it that makes the job unique?
Mm-hmm.
Is every job in every company, it is really unique.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of job ads that I see, it's like company A, software engineer, company B, software engineer, company C, da 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 da. That is the same as that, is the same as that, is the same as that. But it's like the software engineer in this company is working for a very specific person, really particular people. They're facing a really unique set of challenges. Sometimes it's really hard because of this, this, and this, but sometimes it's amazing because of this, this, and this. But it's not always captured, is it? Capturing uniqueness, really cool. Yeah.
But imagine if a job description looks like actually description of the team, and then what exactly you will be doing within that team.
Yeah.
Not the bluff about the company or those big things, you know, they can go to the current website, but actually just purely talking about the team, you know, you will be joining team of, I don't know, team A. In team A, we have 10 people. 10 people with these capacities. Yeah. You will be working with these ones, John and Elisa. They are the funny bunny. So be ready for the, I don't know, dead jokes, you know. And you just like mention, like, look, now this year we have been working on, I don't know, building a features for this. We have this with this, we're struggling. That's why we actually hiring this role, because we need to find solution for blah blah blah.
Mm.
You know, well, just like just describe that little part of the job, that would be so beautiful.
Yeah, agreed.
That would be just great job description ever. Absolutely. And you will just say like, and that's why we need, I don't know, React developers to build the feature, blah blah blah, blah blah blah. You know, just very specific, very concrete, super real. You know, talk about what they can offer, you know, as a learning, you know, from who or from where, how they support people, what's their manager type, how often they go out. I don't know. That's things I would like to know maybe at the beginning.
Absolutely. Agree completely. So, Eva, the emergence of AI, ChatGPT, all of the other, you know, technologies that kind of, you know, sit around this, you know, is this a huge benefit for the world of job advertising? Is it a problem? Is it something that should be kind of, you know, managed but carefully managed? Now, what are your overarching thoughts on all of this?
So I'm like super pro fan. Like, so I'm just preaching embrace, get comfortable, use it, leverage it. It's your tool, it's your assistant. It's just making your life so easy. And when we talk about those reasons why recruiters don't write better job postings, the chat is actually solving all of those things. You know, like it will train you, it can rewrite it for you. If you don't have deep understanding about the role, it can teach you everything about the role. Even it can teach you better than the hiring manager sometimes, you know. It can give you everything. It can even like, based on the like what kind of information you give to AI or what AI you use, you know, it have all kind of information about the companies, the competitors. Mm-hmm. It can do different like analyze and based on that, right? You know, like, especially for job posting, this is, AI or ChatGPT are just the best tools ever. Yeah. Like you can use, and you don't need to be perfect. You only need to be perfect in asking questions and give it assignment, right? Like what exactly you want from it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I would encourage that. And there are as well like super tools like Textio or others who can help you write inclusively, but already chat can do it as well. You know, write an inclusive job. What I'm using it for example, when it comes to job posting, is I'm dyslexic, so I write naturally with a lot of grammar mistakes, and sometimes you can as well hear when I speak I'm forgetting sometimes words because I'm just like whoa, whoa, whoa. My head is running, you know.
Sprint. I had notes, but yeah.
Good. So I would literally just pull my notes from the hiring manager intake meeting.
Yeah,
just pull my notes. But they're the ugly ones, you know, and then I would just say, all right, propose me layout of the job description. I would like to say this and this, you know, correct the sentences, make it inclusive, write it in plain English. I know, make it more fluent because I'm not native, you know. So it can just do always only these little executive things for you.
Yeah. You know? And I think that's what I love about it. It kind of breaks the back of the task. I think getting started is sometimes the hardest thing, isn't it, of any task. Yeah. And what I love, it does that part of the job for you. That first 25-30%, because you'll always want to put your own stamp on things. You'll always want to change things and edit things. But getting off the line and getting started, it's I think it's amazing, isn't it? And like you say, weaving some inclusivity or inclusive language, or make sure it appeals to this type of audience or whatever it might be, it can just help in so many ways, can't it?
What recruiters need to be aware of this is that the chat or AI will replace this part of the responsibility completely for them.
Yeah.
So if you take the recruitment job with the 10 heads, now there is minus one head.
Mm.
So, all right, so you want to be paid well, you want to be recognized for your job, but now you have minus one responsibility. That means is you would start better doing the other responsibilities better. But then even other part of the jobs will be partially replaced. Yeah. So that means what the recruiter will be in the future, it will change. It will be new, slightly new role. So a recruiter would need to be so good in the intake meetings, because actually how well the job posting will be based on that intake meeting.
Yes, such a good point.
You know, like that, the one thing you have to become great is to get that information from that hiring manager.
Yeah.
So you can properly prompt the AI, and then you get that unique job posting with almost 30 seconds done.
Yeah.
No copywriting skills needed, but you need to get that proper specific information out of the hiring manager, who doesn't have a time, who sometimes don't know how to talk about the stuff, you know? So you need to become such a people person and talent expert. You need to understand the role so well, so you can then use the AI perfectly.
Yeah, and it's an interesting point you make there, because that intake kind of briefing meeting with the hiring managers is obviously so critical, but there's no reason why you can't be using ChatGPT or other tools for that part of the process as well. It can help you design that template and those questions, can't it? So the job ad's over here, but for this part of the process, you should be leveraging it for that too.
Yeah, I mean, even like you can just ask what questions I should ask hiring manager, so you will write better post for me. Yeah. And then you just need to be able to get those answers in. But you still need to have your expertise as a recruiter, because you need to still estimate whether those answers are enough.
Yeah.
Whether those answers are not still vague.
Yeah.
You know, so you still need to use your judgment in it. Like, would the candidates I know I interviewing like this?
Yeah.
And it might be like, no. So you need to still judging. You still have to have the judgment. The last call. Is this good enough? No.
Yeah. And I think that's the critical thing, isn't it? It's like, create, you know, whatever you're creating with that technology, just always going in, tweaking, changing, personalizing, making sure it's authentic and whatever else. So yeah, all right, brilliant. I love that. So if we're looking at recruitment marketing content, employer brand-led content as a whole, you know, where have you had most success in regards to kind of the types of content that you think work really well? Or is it video, or is it testimonials, voice notes, you know, any type of storytelling, you know, copy, you know, that type of thing. But what are the kind of key content components for you?
So definitely number one content that you need to have very good is the job post, job ad ink. I always had a lot of success just with that, because whether you put that job link to email or to that brand material that is pretty, they will always click on the job ad. So if just one asset you have right is that one.
Yeah.
What other, like, I like to use a lot of emails. So I would be the outbound person who like to write like a crazy emails, great invitation to connect things.
Yeah.
That always worked very well to get me the candidates in. And but again, that's like more like a recruitment material, right? Like, that's like very like a converting people in.
Yeah, but still really important. I love that. And I love that approach. So do you tend to go quite short and snappy with those initial kind of hook? Or does it depend the type of role you're creating?
Yeah, it depends. So I am a person who write the longer stuff as well, the job description. But there is the rule. There is actually no research that proving that shorter perform better.
Okay.
But if you choose longer, the better be a relevant and a compelling and perfect. Because longer you go, then more demanding the eyes of readers will be.
Then you
need to make sure you are a good copywriter. If you go longer, you need to be specific, relevant, you need to be scannable, appealing, effective. So you better are good in all many if you go longer. If you don't are good in those, you better go shorter then. And there you're going to be snappy, catchy, persuasive.
Yeah.
So you can do both, but depends on your skill set and maybe what you have in hand. So I mostly went for the longer one, especially the emails. I always go with the helpfulness. So I was hiring a lot of developers. And they all complain constantly that the recruiters doesn't give them enough information in the emails.
Mm-hmm.
So I am like, oh, then I will be the one recruiter who give them exactly all information
in the
email. I mean, it was so easy to stand out.
Yeah.
Just do exactly what they're asking, you know.
Yeah.
So I just give them literally one email. Actually, that email almost looked like a job post, you know.
Yeah.
It did, like, and then I would even in the end write, so here are three reasons why you should answer me. You love my email and you wanna, you know, give me acknowledgement for the email you got.
Yeah.
Second, you wanna maybe have some more information. Or third, you don't wanna write me, but you're still gonna write me, you know, like joking. But I always got messages. I always got messages, either with explanation why they are not interested, And then you have opportunity to turn a no to yes, because you have even more information, or for the future, you know, they remember you, then they can recommend you to colleagues, or they come back to you eventually in 2-3 months, because you maybe put them good bug in the head, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you're standing out. I think what you said there that really stuck with me is standing out. You're trying to stand out, trying to be something slightly different. You're injecting some personality. And it's,
but it's ridiculous how easy then it stand up. If I just have to give them what they want,
yeah,
that feels like no effort, to be honest, you know. So I'm still very surprised why people have so hard times to answer those very simple questions of candidate.
Yeah.
And why they are still not giving it. Yeah, this actually, be honest, maybe the one frustration I have is like, why is it so hard to just tell people what they need to know?
Yeah, all the information is here. It's just give it to them.
Why? What's stopping you just to tell what they're going to do in the job?
Yeah, such a good point. Such a good point. So Eva, that kind of almost rounds us off towards the end of the episode. And the kind of final closing question I always like to kind of close on. I hope I don't catch you off guard with this, but... If you could give our listeners one piece of advice, maybe two if you want, but you know, we only ask for one, but one piece of advice you have for companies or people that work in organizations in an employer brand recruitment marketing TA type position that want to avoid being employer bland,
mm-hmm.
What would that piece of advice be?
Yeah, good one. There are so many advices. Oh my God. choose one.
Yeah.
All right. I will just repeat myself because it's a golden rule.
Yeah.
And I learned this golden rule from the when I was studying a UX design. And they say, relevant copy engages while irrelevant copy annoys people.
Mm.
So it's exactly saying, be specific, because that's making copy relevant, so yep. It sells.
Yeah.
But irrelevancy, the fluff, the buzzwords are annoying people, and that's what we can as well hear from candidate, I think.
Yeah.
So again, it's be specific, clear, realistic. That's a key.
Yeah, I love that, and I suppose it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Just take some pride and some time in the process as well, because it's just going to pay off. Fundamentally, yeah. It's going to pay off for you, isn't it?
100%.
For so many different reasons.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Eva. Eva, it's been really, really lovely talking to you.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me and giving me actually this topic that is my heart topic, so I can go crazy.
we covered so much good ground, and I love that you have that, you know, from right at the beginning you have that really personal story that completely changed the course of your life, which is based on this topic, so that yeah. I think that helped us.
This story I will be telling to my nieces one day.
Can imagine. So, yeah, yeah. Brilliant.
Well, thank you for having me.
No worries at all. Thanks, Eva. Take care.
Awesome. Cheers.
Bye.